Blog Talk Radio.
Information on our Facebook, Family Power. I'm your host, Dr. Billy Eisenberg.
And I am Sheena Benjamin-Wise.
And Sheena, who are you?
As I said, Sheena Benjamin-Wise, attorney. I practice family law in Palm Beach County and Broward County, and I am your co-host of this fabulous talk show, the Family Power Hour.
And you know, this is, as you mentioned, this is a talk show. It's not a advice show. And we're dealing with the good stuff in life.
Right.
Marriage, divorce, grief counseling.
Good stuff in life.
Parenthood, children,
yes.
Alimony, what else?
Yeah, things that empower our families, things that empower our callers. We open up the line so that people can call in and share their stories so that we can learn from them and move forward.
And again, let's mention again, it's a talk show. It's not a advice show.
Yeah.
And you're most welcome to call us at 347-945-7246. Again, 347-945-7246. And you can, again, go to their Facebook, and you have all the information there.
Dr. Billy, I think there's something very interesting that our callers don't know about us.
Yeah, I think so. So do you want to share what that, but no numbers?
No numbers. Well, both of us, your co-hosts, both happen to be Geminis. We're both born on June 15th and June 17th, so we're celebrating our birthdays. Happy birthday, Dr. Billy.
How did you celebrate your birthday yesterday?
Yesterday, well, I opened it up and I had breakfast with my brother and mom. They came over and picked me up and I had breakfast. And then I did a little bit of work. I sneaked some work in. And then after that, I celebrated with my daughters, my husband, and my sister-in-law. We had dinner again.
And you had a great gift.
Yes, I got some gifts. And my sister sending me to Orlando. And it's just all a lot of fun.
And you should see her. She's really young. My family did a surprise for me.
Yeah.
They was renting a house in Oakland. And my daughter, my son-in-law, and my grandson came from New York. I didn't know anything about this. They were everything for so many months. And my son came from Grenada. They convinced me to go to Miami to the show and say, I'm so tired. I want to go. I don't want to pack. And he was almost forced me. And I was living there, and I was really surprised. It was a long weekend, just all of us.
Oh,
like,
right.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And, yes, you know, it's
so you went to a beautiful house over there by the coast.
No, it was a very nice house, very good to entertainment. It was very good to have a family. You know, it was the nice neighborhood. We just, I don't know if it was a far for the beach or not, because we all stayed in the house.
At home?
Yeah, it was really nice to be all of us, 24 hours, and we didn't for so long, and maybe
I would make sure your kids talk to my kids so that when they're ready to rent a house, they make sure they do that for me on my birthday. I think Gemini's like birthdays.
It's a great, thank you, and happy birthday, all the best to you.
Yeah,
let's talk about what happened in the world, lady. Well, you see the weather here in Florida. I mean, it was so
warm
to the air.
Uh-huh.
It's the hurricane season, son.
Right.
Oh, I hate
very
it.
Very wet.
Yeah.
It is very wet here, but there's a lot of crazy weather happening all over the country. Two huge tornadoes came down for the ground.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable. This time of year, you don't see that kind of weather.
No, it was really, and I'm so sorry for the people in Nebraska, but it was really, I saw it on TV, it was really, really powerful to see the huge tornado that came to the ground. Let's pray this season, we're all going to be very safe. And let's talk about
football.
Oh, yes, the World Cup. The United States won. Yes. They won Ghana. They're underdogs. They were expected to lose, and they won by scoring not only in the first minute, but then they scored in the end, and it was like, woo!
It's an American. Yeah.
America, yeah. A lot of we're going to hold on to that win. It may be the only win, but we're happy.
Do you think that David Beckham has anything with this? Because he's the one brought from England. So yeah. Because here it's not a football. It's soccer. So do you think David Beckham has anything with this? Just to bring the
He's working hard and bringing it to be one of our powerhouse sports like basketball and football. But and I think he's one of the pioneers and it's great. I think a lot of Americans are finally jumping on that.
Yeah. So who knows? Let's
see.
What else can be in the news?
Well, we have some stuff in the politics, but we're not going to do that.
Okay, not the politics. But let me just mention that there was three teenagers in Israel kidnapped by the Hamas, and I feel sorry for the family. They don't know what's happened with the children. We don't know what's going on there, and it's never stopped. It's time just to stop all this craziness,
Also picks up with the girls that were kidnapped in Guyana. And it's just, there's a lot of factions out there who have their own agenda, and then, and I think it's going to be interesting, especially with our topic tonight and the subject of how people treat people all over the world in the name of religion or in the name of, morality and who's right and who's wrong. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we're going to go to the guest, and you're going to introduce the guest, I just want to pray for these three boys in Israel.
Yeah.
And let's hope they're going to come safe and with them. So do you want to do this?
Absolutely, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. We have a fabulous guest tonight where we're going to speak about a new book named Steps to Salvation by Shlomo
Atiyah.
Thank you for that. And he's here tonight with us, and he's available. So if you have questions once we start discussing some of the contents of the book, you can call in to 347-945-7246 and share your thoughts, your concerns, your questions with our guests. So please welcome.
Welcome, Shlomo. Tell us, just introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Okay. My name is Shlomo Atiyah. I've been here, a resident in Florida, for over 25 years now. I'm an engineer in my profession. I build equipment, prototypes for small businesses, and I also have service company for the commercial kitchens, like hotels, restaurants, everything having to do with gas, electric, steam, installation, service, this type of operation.
And if I can hear your accent, you're not from Brooklyn.
So that's what I do more or less. I've been here for over 20-something years here in the U.S. And that's more or less about me. That's about it. This book came about because of interesting experience. In 2003, I had a motorcycle accident. I had clinical death. I was pronounced dead two times. One time when I got to the hospital, the second time 4.5 weeks later again after being in a coma. And I don't remember the first clinical death, but I remember the second one. And I remember the second one because I had the nurse who, when I woke up, the nurse kind of asked me questions about what I've seen. And so it kind of reinforced all the experience that was going on the other side. And I saw on the second experience that I had.
Let me just stop you and interrupt. I'm sorry. When you said that the nurse started to ask you questions, what do you mean by this?
She asked me questions. She asked me, like, what did you see? I told her I saw this.
Ooh. Why she asked, what did you see?
Because I had a clinical death second time.
Yeah.
And then I obviously, there's a kind of procedure in the hospital when you're dead over 5 minutes, something like that.
Oh.
They come and ask you questions.
Oh,
so the nurse came in and she asked me questions. And she asked me, what did I see and who did I talk to and what was going on? She asked me all these questions. For example, she asked me, what did I see? And I saw people that I thought I'm in another hospital, in a different hospital, because everybody was white, the body was white, like the hospital gown. I felt very good, but I saw myself waiting online, thinking, I'm going to go talk to the doctors in the front. We have like a table there and three people that I thought are the doctors. And my turn, when it comes, I have to go talk to them about their physical condition, about their healing. And then she asked me, okay, how did you move in there? How did you walk? I said, no, I did not walk. I just got in there. So she asked me, what language did you talk to them?
The nurses.
The nurse. Mm-hmm. So I told her, I didn't talk to no language. I was talking to them. I didn't move my lips. I was talking to them, and they were answering me without talking. And she asked me, what did they tell you? And I told her, they told me that when I saw these doctors, I saw that the doctors, as soon as I saw them, they go like, Shlomo, to him, number one, he didn't finish your work. Number two, too many people call for you. What do you want to do?
So the doctor said two things.
Two things, yes.
You're not done with your work.
You tell me you didn't finish your work.
You
yes.
didn't finish your work. And the second one?
The second one is too many people call for you. What do you want to do? So I said, what kind of hospital is that? What do you mean two people call for me? This is a hospital. What to do? I don't know what to do. You're the doctors. You should know what to do. Well, you ask me what to do. This whole environment is very strange. What kind of hospital is that? So they hushed me. They shut me down. They kind of told me, shh. I was shushing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I said, okay, listen, I don't know what are you talking about, what to do. You're the doctors. What should they do? So they said, okay, we recommend for you to go back and finish your work. And then it hit me. I knew where I was. I said, dang, I'm on the outside. And I better remember anything I see around here and lock it in memory and make sure they don't know I'm locking it in memory and keep up. So I said, okay, you recommend for you to go back and finish the work. I always finish my work. There's no way I don't finish my work. Sometimes it may take me longer, but I'm willing to finish the work, but I am with one condition. And I start pointing out about the parts that were bad. So I start from the head. I lost part of the brain. They closed the head, the brain. I was broke. The neck was broken. I was paralyzed from the neck down. I had my hands broken, the wrist broken. The ribs was broken.
Wow.
The lungs was broken.
Wow.
The knees was broken, and the foot was smashed up. So I said, if I go back like that, as you say, go finish the work, I'm not going to be able to finish my work. I'm going to be work on my family, friends, and people around me in the neighborhood, on the system, I'm going to be a load. There's no way I'm going to go back like that. If you send me back like that to finish my work, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking a gun, I'm shooting myself in the head, and I'll be back here in 2 seconds. I'm not going back like that. So they said, okay, we're going to help you in the recovery, and you'll be able to finish your work.
So you had the presence of mind to negotiate with these entities.
Yes. I'm not going like that. I'm not going to be a problem.
Very good. And I'm curious about you. Finish what work? I mean, yes.
That's another thing. So I asked them, okay, what kind of work? No answer. So I said, okay, you said go finish the work. Don't tell me no answer, no nothing. So they said, okay, we're going to help you in the recovery, and you will be able to finish your work. So I said, okay, if I will be able to finish my work, I'll go back and finish my work. And that's it. And that's where I woke up. And then I found out that I was 4.5 weeks in a coma, and I was in ICU and with all the vegetables over there. And that's when I woke up. And since then, the recovery was very fast.
Before you're going to go to the end, I'm still there. Just want to know. When you find out that you, as you said, are the side, what did it feel? I mean, it was curious.
Oh, I tell you what it felt. Yeah. It felt like home. It felt great. I didn't want to come back here. I wanted to stay there.
Why?
Because I felt like home. I felt great. I felt that everything is good. And I felt like not only that, but there was a lot of questions. As soon as I came and I saw the doctors, they were talking to me like they just saw me a second ago. This is like me just going out and coming back right away. And you don't go. So when I got there, I felt like I'm home, and I felt excellent. And then when they told me, okay, we're gonna help you out, and you will be able to recover and finish your work, I said, oh, shit, I finished already.
Absolutely.
Right. So shit, you know, I wanted to stay there. So here we go again. Go back, finish the work again. My whole
life
working.
Do you remember
remember? Do you remember? You can describe what you saw, because you said that it was no language. It's no.
That's
so
right.
How can you communicate?
I was able to communicate with no language. I don't know how,
yeah.
But I was able to talk to them, and they were talking to me, and understood exactly what's going on. It looks very similar to a big airport. That's how it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me all confused, because this whole hospital was strange. It's a big, like a big airport kind of, and it's like an airport. And you wait online, just like you wait online in the airport. And people think, so I can tell you that, when we go to the other side, we still have to wait online. There's lines everywhere you go, there's lines, I guess, you know?
And the people was talking to you, I mean, there was the images, it's like a human being?
The images,
and...
yes, the images like a human being, they were white, the body was kind of white, and you can recognize the face. You don't see the body, you see it's like a gown, okay? And you can recognize the face. And one thing that kind of was very interesting, when I was looking around to see if I recognize, I'm online and looking around to see if I recognize people, I saw that I can zoom up with the eyes. So let's say I see somebody in the distance, like I think that I know. So I zoom in, and then I saw the zooming, it was powerful,
wow.
Like very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so it doesn't matter what distance the person was, I was able to zoom in and to see in about an inch to 2 inches from the face. And in one of those zooming, I was looking in, and I actually got into the body. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell is that?
So you were in a spiritual form.
Yes.
And although you were in a spiritual form, you knew your hands were broken, your neck was broken,
yes,
all your body was broken.
I looked at myself.
So your physical body, you were aware of your physical body, but you were moving as if you were a spiritual body.
Yes.
Wow.
It was that's why I said, what kind of hospital is that? That got me very confused. And I'm still telling myself I'm in a hospital. All the way through until they told me we were connected to go back and finish your work, only then I knew that I am on the other side.
Wow.
All throughout, when I'm waiting online and looking at the people and looking around, I thought I'm in a hospital. I just didn't know which kind of hospital.
And again, stay with it. I'm very curious. When you find out you're other side and you feel
yeah.
good at home, it's really scary.
No.
You're not with your family. You're not with no one. You don't know no one there. You know,
I felt and I knew that that's a normal process. And I always care about my mom and my sister. I help them out with money. I'm, you know, the older one in the family, the oldest kid, always handling the family. And that job, I always was like that. And when I was there, one of the things is, how come I'm not worried about my mom and my sister? Because I knew that this is the natural process, that everything is good, everything is happening, the reason for it that's happening, everything that happens here, there is a reason for it that is happening. And just like I'm there, my mom and my sister also going to get there, and we're all going to get there again, sooner or later, okay? But we will get there, and that's a very normal process, and I felt very content, and I felt very relaxed, and I felt very, very kind. I don't know how to explain it, like home type of feeling. And I felt like I wanted to be there, and this is like home. That's the real thing. That's what I felt.
When I have a question, when people find out that you come into the show, and we're talking about the book, and people like you have your website you're going to mention soon, and
mm-hmm.
you have the blog, and people say, you know what? Maybe because of all the medication, it was hallucinated.
That's right, and that's exactly what the doctor said when I woke up, and the nurse asked the questions. So he was standing next to the nurse. And she asked me, what do they see? And I told her, I saw these doctors, and I saw that, and they told me to go finish your work. And I told her, they promised me that the recovery is going to be fast. And I told her, told the nurse, in 2 weeks, I'm leaving this hospital. So the doctor couldn't, so he was standing up, and he told the nurse, it's all hallucination. He was on 4.5 weeks, he's on morphine. He don't know what he's talking about. So I talked to him, and I told him, listen, Mr. Doctor, I could not really talk loud. I was kind of whispering. I said, listen, Mr. Doctor, thank you very much for your help. Thank you very much for the hospital. But I'm telling you right now, I don't want no help and nothing. Everything's going to be okay. They promised me that it's going to be good. In order for me to prove this point that it's going
to
be good, please do not touch me.
Mm-hmm.
I will let the nurse system, and I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, I'm leaving this hospital. And I'm telling you to him when I'm paralyzed from the neck down with broken hands, broken ribs, broken knees, and foot about like two, and the foot was like big chunk, all swollen up. And I'm telling him, in 2 weeks, I'm leaving this hospital. So he kind of got upset, and he said, yeah, 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 and he left. Well, the bottom line was like that, and that's exactly what happened. I did not let them touch me. The only thing that they did, they just did a surgery, hooking whatever they can hook up together, the foot, the hand, the wrist, and that's it. No physical therapy, no nothing, everything's okay. Look, do I look like I'm a little messed up? I'm a little bit messed up, but
no. So now you know you're very handsome. It's all up together.
All together.
Yes. any crazy sign, you know? But do you still have any communication with the other side?
And before you answer that, you're listening to the Family Power Hour. If you have a question or you have a story of your own that you would like to share with us tonight, call us at 347-945-7246. And the life after death kind of experience is something amazing, and a lot of people may be very interested in sharing their mm-hmm. story. So when we come back, you'll answer that question?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to RightStream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the RightStream Radio Network.
And here we are again. Welcome, everybody. Family Power Hour every Wednesday, 7 to 8. And today we have a very special guest, Shlomo Atiyah. He wrote a book, The Step to Salvation. And we're talking about the life, afterlife, or when you're going the other side and you coming back. Mm-hmm. So before we get to the break, I was asking you, are you still have any mm-hmm. communication with the other side?
No, I don't think I have not anything that I can really aware to communicating. It's not like I'm just talking to them. No, I don't have that. But what I do have, this experience, it's so powerful that it's still on my head. I'm thinking about it all the time. And then when you get out of it and you come back to normal life, what we call, it's very hard to see life the way I used to see before.
Explain.
Yeah. First of all, before I got there, I never really, even though I came from a religious home, I didn't believe that there is God. I know there is God. I know, I saw these people, and I saw what's going on, and I know that there is a creator for this system. I know that. I saw that.
It's a he or she.
It's not he, it's not she. Mm-hmm. Because we as humans, that's another thing. We as human souls, we are he or she only here. Over there, we're not he or she. Over there, we are an entity that we choose either male or female according to what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, that's exactly. And then, because of that experience, I did a lot of investigation. It took me, even though the recovery, they told me I would be able to recover and finish my work. It took me at least 3 to 4 years to get out, to get back to normal type of life. I lost part of the brain. It took me about a year to start back writing and reading. And I started almost from scratch. But then after, when you catch up within a year, I was able to go back into normal reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also talked to a lot of people, at least about 11 people who had clinical death from Memorial Hospital in the brain injury support group. We meet there once a month, and every Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, something like that. I was sitting there and talking to other people who had a brain injury, and because brain injury is very rough, you hear voices in the beginning. People say you don't hear no voice. You do hear voices. I heard voices when I got out of this whole experience.
Wow.
I heard voices from the outside. You hear, you go to different
types. What kind of voices?
Voices that tell you, when you commit a suicide, what are you doing here? And you are listening to that. You really think about committing a suicide. And for me, it was like, it's kind of strange. So I never thought that, for example, depression. I never thought that depression is a problem. But I did go through that situation, and the medication that I got from the psychiatrist didn't really help at all. They make it even worse. So yes, you do hear voices. Not for a long time. It took, this whole process about a year, and then close more or less to a year after the accident.
So let me ask you something about the voices.
Yeah.
You said when you've been on the other side, you feel very comfortable. You feel that you get home. Everybody was very friendly. Everybody was just welcome you. It seems like you know everybody. And then you talk about the voices that for the other side, the voices started committing suicide. What are you doing here? So it's like a...
Here.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, okay.
Here.
So the voices were here.
The voices was here.
So who's the voices here?
I have no idea who these voices, which also got me confused. You know? So what the hell? What's going on here? And then, plus, you had a problem in brain injury. You cannot sleep. You're very tired, but you cannot sleep. And you go through all kind of mental problems like claustrophobia, schizophrenia, you know, like you cannot contain room. You feel the room is closing up on you. And it was this whole recovery, this whole brain injury recovery was a weird experience. And in my lifetime, I was many times in hospital for accidents, different accidents. I was in an airborne unit in Israel, and I was a little bit of a daredevil. I did skydiving. I did a lot of crazy things. And for me to get into hospital for stitches, broken legs, hands and stuff, it's kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, no big deal. But this mental thing was really strange, and it was it's like out of your control. It was, you don't know how to eat it.
I have heard a lot of research done on brain development and how fascinating that we only know about 10% of what the brain can do, and they're still studying this amazing organ. Do you know any information about brain development?
Not much, because they still have a lot of studies. Every time you just find out more and more. But for my, you know what I'm doing for my living, so I'm not attorney.
Unfortunately. What do you do?
I don't know. This day I really don't know. But when you go to see any professional and talking about you hearing voices, that means something wrong. It means maybe because nobody believes. People can be very skeptical, you know, that nobody believes that what kind of voices you hear, who's talking to you, why are, so maybe you're depressed, maybe the medication. So can you explain for your
experience? I saw two times, and that's it. I went, one psychiatrist over in Fort Lauderdale, and one psychiatrist.
Don't mention names.
No problem. And one in Miami Beach, okay, one male psychiatrist and another female psychiatrist that was referral from the hospital to go see, and the medication that they gave me was a disaster. I took it one time. It's expensive, and the going to see them was expensive. Everything was expensive, and I saw that there is no solution from them.
Mm-hmm.
I right away stopped going there, and that's why I was going, and I invest more time in going to a support group, because within a support group, you hear other people, their problems, and you can learn much more than you can learn from any psychiatrist. So as far as what they say, but again, I saw the recovery. The recovery was so fast that every time I was going, I see how I recovered, compared to other people who were there, so they had brain injury and they go with it for years. And I'm in about a very short time. First of all, my neck got straightened up, and that's another thing. That the same doctor who said that I was hallucinating, the same one who stood up in the room there, after the following day when I did the x-rays, he came back, talked to my sister. I saw him outside talking to my sister, tell her, listen, he need to go again for the x-rays. So Ariella came inside and told me, Shomo, we need the x-rays again. And the x-ray was a nightmare, even though it sounds simple, but it's not. Because I had to move the head. I got stuck. My head was in a corner. And I had to move the head to bring it to the center where they can put the cameras and take the pictures. And that's in close about an hour, hour and a half, about an hour. The x-ray was close about an hour and a half x-rays because I couldn't move. And so every time I moved, I just moved a little bit, and then the technician was telling me, okay, I'll be back in 10 minutes. I'll be back in 10 minutes. That's why it took so long. When he came inside and Ariella told me, listen, you have to take X-ray again. I said, there's no way I'm going to do X-rays. X-ray is a nightmare. You get this doctor here, and I want to know what's his problem. Okay, so he got in and he put those X-rays into the big box there, and he showed me. So listen, when you got here, your neck was broken, and look at that. So he put it up, and then he put the X-rays that they took the yesterday, and he put it in, and he said, now when we look it up, it's like nothing happened there. So I told him, I said, listen, doctor, I told you from the beginning, and you were laughing at me, they're going to help in the recovery. And this is a proof for you to show that they're going to recover, and the recovery is working. So he said, well, I don't really believe it. So he tried to check me out. So I said, okay, can you move your feet? This one was, the right foot was messed up. I said, can you move it? So I moved it, and he said, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but you need to go for another X-ray. We must verify that the X-rays that you took is you.
Is accurate.
That's right. Yeah. We don't know what's going on here. So I said, okay, I'm going to go for X-rays, but I don't want to go for another hour and a half. He said, no. The only thing we want the neck, we want the ribs to see that if the X-ray is right. Because the ribs was smashed up, and then the recovery of the ribs was so fast that they thought it's somebody else. The following day, the same doctor came in, but this time I saw him coming in. I said, oh, here we go. He didn't see me. There you go again. And now what did he want? Another X-rays? So he came and he put a chair next to me and said, listen, Shlomo, I'm very sorry that I didn't understand you, but the X-ray shows that, yes, this is like what we call a miracle recovery, and this is a proof that there is a miracle recovery here, and we want to put you on a list of miracle recoveries. So I said, listen, you can do whatever you want to do with the list. I don't care. It's no miracle recovery. There is a reason. There is a system. I'm telling you what's going on. You didn't do that. They did it. And I know that everything will be okay. All I have to do is just to hang in there. And whatever the problem is, I my promise for them was I finish the work. Whatever it takes, I'm going to finish it. And all I have to do is just to keep let the time go, and everything will be just fine. And I know that.
Well, that's a great segue into the book. Tell
yes.
us the name of the book. How did you come up with that title?
Okay, the name of the book is Step to Salvation. I came up with the title because I keep hearing salvation and salvation and
mm-hmm.
salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was on the other side. I saw a few things, and plus I had the time to investigate what's going on with other people with clinical death. And I asked them questions, and we had a bunch of questions about what's really going on here compared to their experience on the other side. Our conclusion, and was this conclusion was in Dennis on 441 and Hollywood Boulevard there, and that this world, the way the world is work, is we have this world, this physical world, and then we have the spiritual world. This world is specifically tough and crazy. This world is exactly what the religious institution called hell. This is it.
All right. Is that what your book is about?
This world, this is part of it. The book is not about hell. The book is about to show people that life in here can be easy and comfortable and good if we learn from the other side.
Okay.
So this book is about bringing some ideas and bringing some parts from the other side, understanding what's going on and how this world working in here and how the other side works. For example,
mm-hmm.
this is about religion. On the other side, there's no religion. When I was standing online, I was looking around, and I didn't see even one with a yarmulke. There's no way, you know. There's no religion.
There was no symbols. There was
nothing.
no sense.
Nothing.
There were no
people
enrolled.
So why on your book, you know, the cover of your book, and it's very, very easy to the eyes. The book I can describe, but you have the David starred with the cross, with the
Christian cross,
the Christian
and
the Muslim.
Yes.
So why?
Why? Because it all comes from the same God. We have one God. For every human being, there's no other gods. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the separation between Christianity and Judaism and Muslim and Islam is completely messed up. Okay? Now, all of those religions came from the original religion of the Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
The Christianity and Islam, they both started within the Quran, the first few books of the Quran, and Christianity all come from Judaism. Judaism is the center of that, about one God, about understanding that there is one creator that created the whole thing, and the section that breaks from that, that's what creates the separation. That's why you have Islam, that's why you have Christianity. This is a mess. We have separation of the ideas, separation of the religion, and by having the separation, we have all those problems for nothing. We are wasting
war,
time.
We're
wasting time. We're wasting energy. We're wasting a lot, and we're creating hate because of this separation. By combining them all together under the same God, I bring back all of those religions, all those people back into the original of what we are. If we understand that we have the same God, if we understand that we are the same souls, we came from the same Father, if you want, we'll eliminate all these problems. If there is no, there won't be no separation between human beings, there won't be no hate between human beings, all of that can go away, and we can focus about the real things, is about to live good, and to be nice, and to be comfortable, and to have life. And if we do that, salvation will come. Part of salvation will come on earth, yes.
Why you decided to write a book?
Mm-hmm. I tell you, in the beginning I didn't want to write a book. In the beginning I said, you know what, because I knew that everybody, when they get to the other side, they'll see the whole thing. So I don't need to write a book because they're going to see it anyway. But then...
Everybody goes to the other side?
Everybody goes to the other side. Everybody goes to heaven because we are in hell right now. When you live here, everybody goes to heaven. Even the worst of the world, even Hitler goes to heaven. But...
I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, how
do you be sure? I'm sure, because I've seen what's going on,
he did here on earth, you know, he needs to really go to
heaven. He goes to heaven.
Yeah.
He's not going to heaven.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because heaven, it's not finished off in heaven. You go to heaven. Problem with heaven, it's great in the beginning, but then it becomes very boring. There's nothing to do in heaven. So what do you do? You know, you get everything there, and then you get it, because you're in heaven, you start getting all nervous up. What the hell to do here? It's too good. So what happened? That's why we come back in here. Now, what happened to somebody like Hitler, somebody like real evil?
I don't want to talk about Hitler.
No problem. Let's talk about...
Why you wrote the book.
Okay, why I wrote the book. I wrote the book because people need to understand what's really going on here and how it's working there. And if they understand what's going on in here and how it's working on the other side, a lot of the negative thinking that they have in their mind will be eliminated. If they understand that there is no end for this life. People say, oh, we just live one time. You don't live only one time. You live millions and millions. It's an infinite cycle that you can go through.
So from what I understand you're saying, so let me know if I've got you correct. So we live on this earth, and this earth is off, got war and famine and disease and all that. That's the hell.
That's the hell.
And then we transition to the next place, and then we're returned back?
Yes.
And we return back based on our bad deeds that we did the first time we were
here?
No, okay.
No,
tell me.
Nothing to do with the bad. Nothing to
so
do
you
with
don't
bad.
Stay, you never stay.
Because it's boring over there. There's nothing to do there.
Okay.
So now, one of the things that I realized within my investigation after that, is that when I came and I saw these doctors, they talked to me like they saw me a second ago. What does that mean? It took me a little time to figure it out. But then I figure it out, and I know that our life, what we think, oh, it's a long lifetime, it's 100 years, over there on the other side, is like that. It's like nothing. So you can live life, you can choose a very crazy life, something that you can suffer a lot, but then when you go the other side, it's like nothing. But what you gain from it, you gain a mental strength, you gain a lesson that stays with your soul. Not physical, it's not physical, it's mental. So if, let's say, you believe in something and somebody, you get burned on stakes, you know, you're a witch or something, and they burn you alive. So you get burned alive, yeah, but when you go the other side, there's nothing. It's not even painful. It's like getting a little shot, like when you go take a blood and the blood sample and they hit you with the needle.
Right.
It only hurts for a fraction of a second. That's what this life is all about. This life, yeah, less than a fraction of a second on the other side.
So everybody's coming back.
Yes.
In the same form and shape, or
whatever they choose. Yeah, you can choose a male, you can choose a female. It's all about what you want.
So why you choose to come? I mean,
well, it all depends within your soul level of what is that you want to learn for the next cycle, and how you basically upgrading yourself, your soul, from one level to the next level. So one this lifetime you came as a female, next lifetime you can choose to be as a male, and next lifetime you can choose to be as a homosexual. It's all about choices. It's all about what you want. And it's all about what your soul needs to move to the next level, yes.
To correct you, nobody chooses to be a homosexual.
They're
born to this, and they have not just what they would choose to do. Believe me, 99% chooses not to be a homosexual because it's not easy. But it's in another topic,
okay.
I thought.
Okay.
It's in another topic.
I'm telling you that.
You choose to be a man or a woman.
That's right. You choose to be a man or a woman or homosexual or lesbian. It's all choices. The soul needs certain loads. And this load, this mental load, that's what it is. Homosexual is not about sexual.
You choose to be black, you choose to be white, you choose to be
rich,
Asian.
Rich or poor, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You choose to rich or poor, yes. And most people do also be poor because they know by choosing rich, they don't learn much. So that's why...
Is it some form of enlightenment that happens there and they say, well, my choices are laid in front of me and then you get to pick who it is?
These people, for example, those royal families, these guys who choose to be born the King of England or the Prince, he going to gain nothing when he goes to the other side because he has easy life. He never really earned anything by himself. When you choose tough life, when you choose to be born as poor in a tough area, there is a reason why you choose that. It's all choices. These choices is for us, and nobody forced you for nothing. For example, when they told me, we're going to send you back and finish your work, it was my choice to either come back or to stay there. They didn't force me. They didn't tell me, we're going to send you back and that's it. No,
but
what do you want?
You stay there for so short period of time.
Yes.
So, and everybody's coming back, so a lot of people choosing to stay there.
Some people choose, yes.
Okay.
A lot of people choose.
So you have a choice.
Every person who died, what we call dying, he chose to stay there, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, because there's no death, and I'm telling you, every person who died on this earth, that's his choice. He chose to die. And that's his agreement to die, and that's what we call die. That means he finished his job over here, and he go back to the other side. That's it.
Are you a better person now? I mean, you look young.
Before
ask
the
how are you?
Before the
before you came back from.
What do you mean, better person? I was not bad before I died.
No, but better.
I'm very happy about this experience. First of all, I not only I don't have no fear of death. I can't wait to get the hell out of here because there's no death. We go back home. That's where it really is. This is a temporary situation. Not only am I not afraid of death, I look at life very, very different. And that's a part of the reason for this book, is to let people understand that life can be easy and comfortable here on this earth right now before you even go there.
Well, where can somebody find the book?
Yeah.
The book, you can find it on wordpress.com. ShlomoAtia@wordpress.com. There is a link where you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is produced by Lulu. And you can also look into the Lulu website, or you can go on Google and put the name Shlomo Atia or Shlomo Atia Step to Salvation, and it will show you. It will direct you to the website where you can buy it.
And spell your name for the audience.
The name is S like Sam, H like Henry, L like Larry, O like Orange, M like Mary, O like Orange, and the last name is A like Apple, T like Tom, I like India, A like Apple.
Very good.
Right. Atia, are you Moroccan?
I'm what?
Moroccan?
Algerian.
Algerian.
Yes.
It's a huge fight in Israel between Morocco and Algerian. This is another story.
Well, I got to tell you something. The name Atia is actually from the Middle East, okay?
Yeah.
And the name Atia in Arabic means givers. Atia in Arabic means Atia, to give, okay? The name Atia also, I found some families, who actually some Muslims today in Syria. Also, Atia is a big family all around the Middle East. We have Atia Syrians, we have Atia in Jordan, we have Atia in Nazareth, actually another Atia in Nazareth. He's Muslim, we're Jews, we're from the same, we have the same DNA, we're brothers and sisters. These guys, a few thousand or a few hundred years ago, was forced to become Muslims, and they're Muslims, but they still carry the name. Okay?
Right.
So that's
amazing.
What the name is all about, yes.
Yeah. Let's go to the break, and then...
Call in if you have a question for our guests or you want to share an experience, please call 347-945-7246.
And before we're going to go to the break, I have a question you're going to ask after the break. Well, let's talk about step number one.
All right, and you'll hear that after we can break.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern. Tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe, with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
And again, here we are again, Family Power Hour. And we had a very nice, a very interesting topic that, you know, life after death. And before we went to the break, I was asking you about the step, but when I see, I'm holding your book, you know, it's a, as I said, it's a nice cover. I see this sign,
Do you recognize, because this is, that symbolizes the world. We're going to have, I think, in order for...
can you describe what you have on the cover?
Sure. You have the symbol of one God religion, okay? You have the temple, second temple, King Herod Temple in Jerusalem today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's
the background.
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
This is Jerusalem today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay? So what it is, and this whole symbols. This is a bunch of symbols who try to give an idea, and the idea is the Jewish people have the ability and they have the need to do their job, and the job is to create unity, to bring God to all human beings, one God. That all human beings have to understand, by understanding what God, what the Creator is, it's a God that's going to unite human beings and going to give, and by uniting human beings, it's going to make life easier and more comfortable for everybody to understand.
And just correct me if I'm wrong, because you said that the Jewish wants to bring.
Yes.
So if there was no, if God belongs to everybody, why is it up to Jewish?
One of the reasons those people chose before they were born to become Jewish is because when you choose... they chose to be born Jewish, yes.
All right.
You choose to be born Jewish, as I told you. You choose to, everything before you're born, you choose everything. You choose a male or female, your religion, your environment, where you're going to live, who's your parents, you chose them.
Mm-hmm.
You chose all of it. And then when you were born in here, you don't know nothing. You're like, wow, what the hell is going on here? But again...
So how do you know that if you choose to be born and then you don't remember, you don't know, so how do you know that I'm choosing to be a Jewish, to be Israeli, to be a female?
Because,
in my case, I don't remember a male, but again, so... how do you know?
I know because my investigation and my questioning and my talking to other people at clinical death, and looking to more other clinical death experiences, I know that I know more or less how the system is working between there and here, and I know that life is a choice, and because it's a choice, you choose all of it, including you choose to be born as a Jew. Yes, absolutely.
I just want to say something because I have a lot of respect to the gay community.
Yeah.
And from my experience with the gay community, that's 100% of them said, then they never be choose to born gay. It's a difficult life. I mean, they accept it because it is what it is. But 100%, I didn't find no one gay person say it was my choice to be born gay.
They chose that. I'm telling you, they chose that. Just like there's a lot of 100%, a lot of Jews say, if I could, I wouldn't. I prefer to be born as a Christian.
Don't compare to be a Jewish because it's a religion, or to be gay because it's not easy to be gay. It's a very difficult life.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course, it's a difficult life.
Think about. I don't think about these days. Think about the day before 100 years before,
yeah.
50 years before. It wasn't easy.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they chose that. And by
why they chose it?
Because they chose. That's a heavy load. By choosing heavy load, your benefits when you go the other side are tremendous. When you
So you gain more.
Yes, that's why you choose.
So when
that.
You come down and your life is easy.
That's right. You don't.
You
gain
have
nothing.
No gain.
That's right.
No pain,
that's
no
why,
gain.
That's right. No pain, no gain works over there too. Absolutely. That's why most people choose to be born poor. Yes.
So if I want to gain more points, so
yes.
I need to be Jewish, a woman,
gay.
Black. Lesbian.
Yeah.
So
your life is going to be
miserable while you're here. Your life going to be miserable, and every day you're going to learn something. You're going to struggle with and you by doing those struggles, you're elevating yourself upper and upper. So even though you don't see it right now, but when you get there. Then all the truth is exposing you. Oh man, unbelievable!
It's
so
similar
the next time,
to the I'm sorry born again. What do you call it when somebody?
Reincarnation.
Yeah, it's similar to that concept that you die and then you come back as somebody else and you know you live another life, and if you had good karma then you come back as you know, a tree, and if you have bad karma, you come back as an ant or something like that.
According to Shlomo, you choose what you want to come
back.
Right,
yes. Right.
So,
you don't
so,
come back
yeah,
no
right,
tree.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right.
You don't come back no tree and no ant, no nothing. You come back
as a human
soul because as a human soul, that's how you elevate yourself. A tree is a tree, and you just live as a tree. But as a human soul, it's your choices, and you choose tough life in order for you to move and to elevate yourself to the next level.
Is it a reincarnation?
It is reincarnation.
Okay,
yes,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yes.
Hitler.
Tell what happened to Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler leaves the earth and he said, oh, what did I do? Oh, one more thing happens to every clinical desert I talk to. Before you leave, you see, I saw, for me, it was a tremendous experience. I saw life running in like almost like a slideshow, pack, one after
your
one.
Your life?
My life, yeah. But I didn't see the good things. I only saw the bad things that I did, the things that I did, and I hurt people. A little things, stupid things, okay? But I saw them, and it hurt me very, very, very much. I felt horrible pain in my stomach, kind of. I felt pain. It was unbelievable pain. And like I saw that, and I knew that I messed up. And I'm like, what the hell did I do? How did I do that? I need to fix it. But it was too late, and I knew it was kind of too late. So when I got out of it, that's when I saw myself in this hospital. That's what I saw. Now, somebody like Hitler, as soon as you leave, and he said, oh, what did I do? I was so messed up. I started believing race, and I was looking at races.
Murder.
By the way, there is a big section about race in here, and explaining that there is, and showing physically that there is no race. So somebody like Hitler, who did it, he said, I was driven by hate. I hurt people. I did that only because of the color. Only because of hate, only because of ignorance and ego. So he says, now he goes to heaven and he's relaxed. He says, you know what? I messed up. Next life, I'm going to choose to be born in Haiti as a black person and to see what black life is all about and to be with no legs, with no hands, just to be born as a handicap or something. So people are going to make my life miserable in order for me to compensate for the next stage. That's what happened.
Now, that's interesting how, if this is the system, then how are we not already aware of the system? How come we don't already know that, okay, I'm sitting here with you, have a really good life in the other time, so now I'm going to have a really regular life now. You know, how come we don't already know this as
because,
part of...
That's right. Well, that's what this book is all about. This book is also about explaining why we don't, a little bit, why we don't know about it. We don't know about it because our leadership who control our life, religion, politics, medical institution, the justice system, all of those things, the media, they're the ones who are basically driving us to the direction where they want to direct us. If they'll change it, then you will know. For example,
yeah.
For example, the religious institution. In Judaism, there's no hell in Judaism. In all the Torah you look, you're not going to find hell. Where the hell came from?
Where the hell came from?
Somebody named Dante in around 600-700. He is the one who created hell, and now the religious institution is using hell as a tool to make money, to fear people, to control people. So they, and if you talk about reincarnation, about choices, they will shut you up and tell you this is heresy. That's why we don't know about that. Even hell came back to a lot of Jewish rabbis start talking about hell. Where the hell came, what happened here? There was no hell before Christianity. Now hell is here. So this is part of the problem. Another part of the problem is about the justice system, for example. Like, I don't believe in killing people for, death penalty. Because by doing the death penalty, you send right away to heaven. It's a mistake. Let the guy stay here and work and pay for his damages and to make and earn by working hard and paying off. Like, if you steal somebody, if you kill somebody, you stole money, you stole $25,000, I will leave you in jail until you pay, it will give you a job so you can make money and pay those people you stole from them, and you pay them up and you finish it up. So there is a lot of things for your questions about how come we don't know about it. We don't know about it because we are driven and we are going through a different way, and we are controlled by the media, by the education system, by the religious system, and that's exactly what this book is about.
But there are more than one incidence of a life after death survivor.
Yes.
But they don't have the same story.
Not exactly like that, but the similar stories. Not exactly like that, no. That's right. Now, let me tell you something. They knew, sending me back down here, I'm going to open my mouth. There's no way I'm going to be quiet. So there is a reason why they sent me down here. And for your question, why did I write this book? I didn't want to write the book in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when the more I was looking into it, they said, there's no way I can, when I try to explain to people what I saw and what it is and how good it will be if we change a few things, it's good for all of us. I knew I have to do it. I just have to do it, and there's no way I can get away out of it. I need to write it out in a book format, because if I talk to people about the concept, I did try that. I told you, I did try to go to some radio shows, and I tried to talk to, not I didn't try, I talked to, I had a radio show that was one imam, one rabbi, and one a priest, and I'm on the other side. It was on 1470 a.m. is a guy named Jean Jabouin. At the time was an a.m. station, and when they start talking about religion, in the beginning, every one of them, they were each one talking about him and some kind of respect one to another. But when I expose the religion, the way I look at religion, all three of them got together and start against me. because I was a threat for the way they're thinking. They want to create separation, and I don't believe in the separation. I know there is no separation. I know there is one God, and I know that they're the one who messing our life up. They're the one who doing it. And that's what this book is all about. And that's what those pictures in the back, those are pictures of leadership and history of the human being and how we got to the situation where we are today, and why we don't think about reincarnation, why we don't think about that there is more life, why we don't think that doing good is the right thing, why we about money, what money is all about. I know that money is a necessity for human being, and there is a way to make life. When people have money in the pocket, they relax. They don't need no government tell them what kind of program to do. All they need the money in the pocket to live good and comfortable. The way we live, the way we rent houses, and we are slaves. We're still slaves for the system. We don't have no freedom. We don't. We have a fake freedom. You pay mortgage, you pay that, that before the end of the month coming. You have to run again. You have to do that.
Let me stop you. You know, because we almost need to finish, and it's amazing. People are going to buy your book, and you're going to give the information. What's your expectation when people, if I buy the book, what's your expectation that I will get from the book?
I tell you what's going to happen. We are human beings. As human beings, we are driven by our internal thoughts, by our imagination. I hope with this book to get your imagination going towards a positive direction. If you buy it, and another person buys it, and just read it, what it will do, it will open up and it will change your view and it will change the way you look at life. Because and the more people will do it, the more our life will start. We will start demanding our politicians to do their job the way it's supposed to do, just like in this book. And that's what happened in this book.
Mm-hmm.
We will demand to have easy life. We will demand them to make a system where they actually we can be financially healthy in the pockets. Yes, we need money. We want money in the pockets. Yes, we want to be free from the banking system. We want to be free from the separation of the religion. Yes.
So why write in a book? Why not write any government position to change?
That's probably going to be the next stage. It's not gonna,
yes,
absolutely. I'm, look, they sent me to do the job. I'm going to go do the job. I promise them. I'll give it a chance. I don't care. I'm not going to be like those politicians because I don't believe in that. I don't think that politicians, for example, here in the U.S. have to be in the Congress, have to be in Washington. You're the congressman of my area. You should be here. You should help here. And all these traveling around to Washington, it's all a bunch of baloney.
Shlomo, just again, just give the information very slow that people can write it down.
Okay, the website to buy the book, you can go to www.shlomoatia.wordpress.com. That's where you can look it up, and there is a link in there where it says where to get it, and just click on the link, and it will direct you where you can get it, when you can get it. Now, it's also going to go to Amazon. It's also going to be on Amazon right now because this book just came up last week, okay? So it takes some time to go to Amazon, to go to Books and Books, and to go to Barnes & Noble, and that, it will show up in their website, yes.
Yeah, awesome. Do you want to mention the person that we all know, or you don't want to?
Oh, yeah, Daria.
Okay.
Daria helped me tremendously. Daria DiGiovanni, yes. She I cannot write in English. English is a disaster to write. So Daria was the my hand. She is the one. I said, Daria, I want this and this and this. And she said, okay, she go for it. And then I look at her and I said, don't, Daria, no good. Let's do it again. And again, but without Daria, I will not be able to write a book and to do it right. I need the right people with me that can help to bring this vision and to bring this salvation on this earth. Yes.
You have a book signing coming up as well, right?
That's right. There's a book signing coming up.
Tell us about
when
it is and where to go.
The book signing is over on Tropical Acres on Griffin Road and I-95.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very well-known, it's about 40 years old restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. They have great food there. I know the owners because I did the kitchen installation there for them, and I know them for a long time. And they know me. And it's going to be on the 5th of July, after the 4th of July. The 5th of July is going to be Saturday. I'm going to be there at 6:30, but we're going to start, we'll talk about 6:30 over there. You're going to have wines and cheeses. You buy the wine, but there's some cheese and some hors d'oeuvres or something like that. You can come and eat.
And you'll have books there.
And I sign the books there. And anybody want to come, I'll be more than happy to sign a book, and I'll be more than happy to meet those people.
Awesome.
And to tell them everything is okay. Do the best you can because life, it's not ending. There's no end for this life, and we're going to have more and more.
Shlomo, you're a very, very, very interesting person. Yes. I'm going to ask you a question. Just finish the sentence.
Sure.
Shlomo Atiyaz is?
Just a human soul.
Okay. And I am Sheena Benjamin Wise, the family law attorney. You can reach me at 954-783-9737. If you have a topic or if you have a question, you can give me a call. Send me an email at fbwise@wiselaw.com.
And you are the really the wise.
And the wisest choice in family law.
Absolutely. You are the best.
Yes.
And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenman. I'm clinical psychologist and family therapist. You can reach me in 561-271-7106. And you can write me at drbeisenberg.com. And as I say, always, I go to you, you start as you result after the first session. We want to just to share something with you this summertime, and we will take a break for 4 weeks just for vacation. It was a very, very busy year for you and for me. And we're going to replay, we're going to have a replay every week, but we're going to come back the end of July. We're going to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, start. August is going to be our anniversary.
Yes.
So thank you for all of you. And Sheena, you have the last word.
Yes. Thank you so much, Joel, for coming.
Thank you very much.
I hope great success for your book.
I hope so, too.
And the education of the world.
A good success for a lot of people, all of them. humanity, I would think so.
Yes.
Thank you.
And to our callers and listeners, we appreciate you. We really are grateful that you are out there and listening and calling and supporting us. And Daria,
thank you so much. I know we're here right now. Thank you. And we'll see you at the end of July.
Yes. Have a wonderful summer. And good night.
Night.